The great mystery, folks, Paul's going to bring in our next guest because he really cares, is Sweeney will exit the ship, the mothership, and he will try to get home.
Yes.
In a small matter, is the president of the United States.
Exactly right. We're getting the, been riding New Jersey Transit faithfully for more than 30 years, and it's getting me home and pretty much all the time in good shape. But that tunnel we go through every day, it feels like we're just kind of rolling the
dice.
It's
like roulette every day.
It's roulette every day. We go into the tunnel. We hope we make it out the other side because they're old and they need to be replaced. And that's what we're talking about, the Gateway Project. So, Emily, President Biden, Emily Wilkins, he's our Bloomberg government reporter. She joins us here. Emily, the president's out there, rightfully so, touting his infrastructure investments. He's been certainly pro-infrastructure, pro-railroad, pro-Amtrak. What's his message here today and over the last few days?
So really what Biden's been trying to get out there is he's been trying to really continue to sell that infrastructure bill that was passed. I mean, yes, it was a couple of years ago, but right now is when we're kind of starting to see projects actually go forward, be implemented. And of course, this comes as Biden is still considering whether he's going to launch an official bid for 2024. So this kind of gives him the ability to get out there to tell what the administration has done. And certainly he's going to have to do more of that because with Republicans controlling the House, it's not like he's going to get some more big bills.
Is infrastructure bipartisan, or the Republicans? How does it play out? I mean, is it like China where everybody's on the same page?
I think for the most part, it's safe to say that infrastructure is a bipartisan thing. You saw that in the number of senators who backed the infrastructure bill. You've seen that in the number of Republican lawmakers who have taken credit for parts of the bill, sometimes a bill that they did not even vote for. So you do see infrastructure as something. And the other good thing is that, you know, it's all local stuff, right? All politics is local. If you can actually point to someone and say, hey, this tunnel that your train always goes through, this bridge that you drive over every day, this, you know, XYZ that you know, you've been frustrated about, we were helped able to fix that and to kind of say, yeah, that didn't just happen by magic. It was because of this federal government bill that passed.
Emily, we have the Republicans now in control of the House of Representatives. What's their to-do list for the next couple of years? What do they want to get done? What
get
do they
re-elected.
Think they Yeah, what do
That's
they think they
to-do
get
list.
Done? Exactly.
I mean, I would say it's really kind of two tiers. I mean, number one, there are the must-pass bills. That's why we're talking so much about the debt limit right now. It's something that simply has to go through. The other really big thing is going to be the investigations, because that's what Republicans can do. They know any bill that they pass is very unlikely to make it to Biden's desk, but they want to look into a number of investigations into Biden, into his family, into his cabinet, his administration. And that's going to potentially undermine any run that Biden wants to have going forward. And so that's something I expect to see a big, big focus on for Republicans in the next 2 years, because that's really where they have the power.
How will the White House change with a new chief of staff? I mean, your view is the white marble of Capitol Hill. Does it change for Capitol Hill types that there's a new chief of staff for Mr. Biden?
So far, I haven't heard too much hand-wringing about a new chief of staff. And I think it's probably because Jeff Zients is kind of in the role mold of Ron Klain. It's not like these are two dramatically different ideologies, dramatically different individuals. Certainly, Ron Klain will be missed by many on the Hill, including progressives, who he has a very good relationship with. But at this point, I don't think there's a lot of concern going forward. I mean, obviously, the key thing with Zients is that he has this background that really make him uniquely poised to be in some of these debt limit talks and to sort of really understand the lay of the land and to engage in those conversations. Obviously, we're very interested to hear what's going to come of tomorrow when President Biden and Speaker Kevin McCarthy sit down for a discussion. McCarthy's been pushing for one to over the debt limit. Biden says there's nothing to negotiate, but certainly will be interesting to see what the contours of that meeting are and if both sides tend to agree to anything.
So, Emily, you know, one of the big questions which you alluded to is President Biden and his willingness to run again. What's this? Is there a sense of timing when he will announce, should announce?
Well, Biden initially said that he wanted to take Christmas and the holidays to talk it over with family. Obviously, the holidays are now behind us. And so, yeah, it's a bit of a question right now when we're actually going to be hearing from him. I mean, certainly the sooner someone can get in the game, the sooner they can sort of indicate to other individuals that hey, maybe they don't want to jump in, the sooner they can start fundraising efforts. But at the same point, there are some benefits for Biden sort of keeping it not yet quite announcing. And so I think it's just something a lot of folks are waiting for. I think it's something that many folks at this point are expecting to have happen. And that, again, just ties into these trips that we're seeing where he's continuing to talk about his legislative wins.
Emily Wilkins, thank you so much. The Bloomberg government this morning.